Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Tes, Pasuk Dalet. Vayomer Hashem Elov. Hashem said to Gavriel. Hashem said to the Malach or to the Ish Levush Bat, to this creature that was dressed in linen, which means white, and we know that refers to Gavriel. Hashem said to him, Avar b'sochu ir, I want you to go past through the city b'sochu Yerushalayim v'hisvisa tov al mitzchayis v'anashim. I want you to make a mark upon the foreheads of the ha'anashim, ha'ne'enochim v'ha'ne'enochim. The foreheads of the people who sigh and moan, al kol ha'toyevos ha'nasos b'socha, concerning all of the abominations that are taking place within Yerushalayim. In other words, I want you to put a mark upon the tzaddikim. Because here the malach, the mashchitzim, these six individuals, these six malachim are going too soon to walk through the city and destroy the city. And the only survivors will be the people upon whom there is a mark. And the mark will be put upon them by this malach, who has in his hands, on his loins, the keses ha-sofer. He's going to use the inkwell and his pen to write a mark upon the foreheads of the tzaddikim. And how do we find the tzaddik? Those that have sorrow, those that it bothers them, it disturbs them to witness, to see the abominations that are taking place inside of Yerushalayim. Let's see the mitzvot of Pasuk Dalet, B'soch Ir, L'Tosefes Be'er, Amar B'soch Yerushalayim. So here the mitzvot points out that we have a repetition. Now the Pshut Shomikra is very simple, B'soch Ir. Which city are we referring to? We're referring to B'soch Yerushalayim. There must be something a lot deeper than this, which I don't know. Maybe we'll see soon. V'hisvisa tov, I want you to, what is the word v'hisvisa? It means tirshom, I want you to mark simon on a sign al mitzchos hatzadikim hanenochim umitztarim, on the foreheads of the tzadikim who sigh and moan ba'avur kol ha'toevos hanasos b'socha, considering all the abominations that are taking place inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Rashi, Pasuk Dalet, v'hisvisa tov v'rashamto roisham, you shall mark a sign al mitzchos ha'noshim hatzadikim k'dei lios la'os. What's the purpose of this mark? It should be as a sign. Shlo yifku ubam hamashchisim. The mashchisim should not touch them. Okay, radak pasuk dalid. Vayomer Hashem elah. Here, have a long radak. Radak can explain a couple of things. Hashem said to me, "Ksiv vav ukri biyud vav." Okay, so the first thing we're pointing out over here is we have a kri v'ksiv. It says over here we read it elav. Hashem spoke elav to him, but the way it's spelled without a yud, which means Olav. Olav means Hukmo Olav Bashamayim Yareim, those upon him in heaven shall Yareim shall shout. The Hadoimim Loy, the Omar. Okay, so therefore now, okay, so it's not really explained. Hukmo Olav, the word Vayom Hashem. Okay, I'm just saying that the words that. I'm not exactly sure what he means by referring to the word Olav. I don't know. There's a medrash, though, that explains the word Olav, Aleph Lamed Vav, means the mighty. And this means that Hashem has in Shemayim many types of malachim. There are stronger malachim, and there are weaker malachim. Hashem spoke to Olav. Olav means to the strong malachim, the malachim that are very mighty, mightyful, which means who? Who is the mightiest malach in Shemayim? Gavriel. The Malach Shel Esh, and that's to whom Hashem is addressing, is speaking. When Hashem, that's why the Kriv Chesilvi Hashem said a love to him. Who is a love? It is Aleph Lamed Vav, the Mighty One, to Gavriel. Kevi Acha She Omar B'Soich Ir, Omar B'Soich Yerushalayim, Afal Pi She Yedua Ki Ir She Zocha Hi Yerushalayim. Why is it necessary? It's known. She Zocha B'Inyan HaParsha Beis Hashem Heichal Ulam Umizbeach. We already mentioned the Beis Hamikdash, the Heichal, the Ulam. This certainly is in Yerushalayim. Elo Chosif Vi Omar Yerushalayim Kolaymar Hu Ir She Bacharti L'Shakein Shemish Ba. We want to make mention of the city itself. This is the city which I have designated. The Akadosh Baruch Hu over here is coming to emphasize that this is the city which I went out of my way to select. And they also went out of their way to defile. Just the fact that I selected this city to be my home should have been enough of a reason why they should not have done the abominations here in Yerushalayim. Chazal say, if a person wants to sin, a person who cannot control his Yetzer Hara. He should go away, to far away, to a place where no one knows him, no one sees, and get dressed up in black clothing, and do what he needs to do. Sometimes a person cannot control himself, but don't do it in the Beis HaKnesses. Don't do it when you're dressed in a black hat, in a dark suit, wearing the Itztila D'Rabbanan. And a person, Rachman Litzlan, cannot control himself, go away from the sacred Mokoim in order to be minimized the Chil Hashem. So basically, what the Radak appears to be saying over here is, that I'm trying to read between the lines, is over here that Klal Yisrael, they have a very big Nisayon. We cannot relate to what they were going through. They have a terrible Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. It's beyond their control to some degree, whatever the situation is. And therefore, if they want to go worship idols, all right. So what could I tell you? But don't do it in Yerushalayim. Eretz Yisrael is a very big place. It's a very big place, Eretz Yisrael. So go outside of Yerushalayim. Go find yourself a place where you worship idols. Do what you want to go do. But you have to go and desecrate the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, the whole city of Yerushalayim. This is something which specifically angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Radak says that's exactly why the pasuk over here says twice, Besocho Ir. Which city did you choose to behave in such a detestable way? Besocho Yerushalayim. From all the cities in Eretz Yisrael, you couldn't find somewhere else to go do your Averus? As Chazal say, you have to do an Avera. We acknowledge sometimes you can't control yourself. That's what the Radak appears to explain by emphasizing the repetition, why it says the Ir Besocho Yerushalayim. This visa tov, and you shall mark etch a mark. Inyan simen uksiva omar sheyisveh bidyoy. I think sheyisveh means you shall mark with ink. Al mitzchoyz huanoshim hanenochim v'hanenochim lesimen shlo yigu bochem hamashchisim, that the malachim, these six angels of destruction, should not kill them. V'zeo inyin ke'inyin dam ha-pesach b'mitzrayim lo'esu lesimen. This is identical, this is similar to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael to do in Mitzrayim, to put blood on the mezuzos ha-pesach, on the doorposts, so that when the mashchis comes to destroy, it will posach, it will pass over the homes upon which there is blood. Elosh zehoya b'mare hanavua. That was for real, and this was in amare hanavua. Now he comes to elaborate now more, and we're going to discuss some of these midrashim in more detail. V'raboseinu zichron levracha perishu tov. They take the word tov means a mark, okay, but it doesn't just mean a mark. It means actually write the letter tov upon their forehead. This was the letter that was written upon their forehead. Ha'ois ha'nikreis tov. We spell it with a yud. Okay, but that's the letter. Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Gavriel Kesoiv Al Mitzchon Shel Tzadikim Tov Shel Diyoy. Write with ink the letter tov. V'al Mitzchon Shel Rishoim Tov Shel Da. Now here for the first time, the Radak is telling us which Rashi and the Mitzudas did not tell us. This is a Medrash. And he's saying is that the mark was not just for the tzaddikim; the mark was also for the complete rishoim, which is not what it says in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "I want you to go make a mark al huanoshim hane'enochim v'hane'enochim, the people who sigh and moan al kol ha'tevos hanasos b'soicha." So I'm saying a drush now. The fact that Chazal say that the tov was to be put on the tzaddikim and upon the rishoim indicates, and the pasuk only describes people who sigh and moan over the abominations. So the simple meaning over here is, as we said in the Mitzudos and Rashi, is that the tzaddikim have tsar, they have pain. When they walk in the street and they see there's an idol in the street and people are bowing down to the idol, it causes them grief. But the truth is, it causes the rasha even more grief. Because deep down inside, there's no satisfaction. A person, Rachman al-Islam, who's caught up in this sickness, a person who's addicted. Rachman al-Islam, you see people who are addicted, whether they're gamblers, or whether they're addicted to medication, painkillers, whatever, drugs, or worse. I don't want to go into details. A person who has an addiction, what do you think? They enjoy it. They maybe enjoyed it the first time. But once they get caught up in their addiction, it's not enjoyable. It's painful for them. I can't break out of doing. I know this is harmful to me. I know it's going to cause me a lot of pain at the end, and I don't want to do it. I want to stop doing it, but I just can't break away. I can't stop the impulse of what I'm doing. I'm a gambler. I just can't. I know I'm going to go broke. I'm not going to have any money left soon. This is torture for me. Why am I doing it? I can't break out of it. So that's really what it means. These are people who are completely wicked, and they are being described as those who sigh and moan, who have very great pain. In addition to the tzaddikim, who for real have grief when they see the avodah zarah taking, the toivos taking place in society. So this is what is being done over here. I want you to make a mark on the tzaddikim. Shel diyav yal mitzvah, shel rishon tov, shel dam. Now the Omar Maishna Tov, why the letter Tov? So we'll see in the Midrash a few reasons, but why specifically the letter Tov? So the Gemara says, Rav Omar Tov Tichya Tov Tomus. The Tov of the Tzadikim represents Tichya, to live, and the Tov of the Rishonim represent Tomus. Ushmul Mashmulam says Toma Toma. Now let's go one thing at a time. First of all, let me ask you a question. The Mashchis comes and he sees the letter Tov. Okay, so he sees the letter Tov. Let me even go take a step back. Who is getting the letter? Everyone? No, so it seems in the Farshim there are three different categories. There are the Beinonim, people that are in the middle. Then there are the Tzadikim Gemurim, and the Rishohim Gemurim. Okay, so the Rishohim Gemurim, they get the Tov Tomos. Their fate is sealed. The tzaddikim, the gemurim, get the tov, which represents tichya, to live. Everyone in the middle, it's a toss-up. Maybe yeah, maybe not. It's up to the mashchis. The mashchis, whatever the mashchis decides, whatever that means.
Did they get an ois or
no? No, they did not get an ois. The only ones that are getting an ois are the tzaddikim gemurim and the rishohim gemurim. Everyone else in the middle, it's a toss-up. What is going to happen to them? There'll be Ashkacha Pratis, of course, but it's not yet to fall like on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we say the Tzadikim Gemurim Nichtavim La'alter L'Chaim, and the Rishonim Gemurim are Nichtavim immediately L'Misa, and everyone in the whole Aseres Yemei Tshuva are all for the Beinonim. So we all identify as being Beinonim. That's why we observe the Aseres Yemei Tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because maybe we are from the Beinonim, and it's not yet been decided which way we are going to turn. And of course, in every person, there are different dimensions. There's a dimension of being a tzaddik, there's a dimension of being a rosh hagamur, chas v'shalom, and there's a dimension in the person where he is somewhere in the middle. Person is complex, there are different aspects of a person's personality to his person's hanhaga. Okay, so after you keep that in mind, there are three different levels. Now, I'm going to ask you a question I don't have a good answer for. The mashk, let's say I would walk into a room and I would see in front of me 50 people, and every single one of them has upon their forehead the letter Tav. And they're all dressed in nice, beautiful clothing. They're all wearing their Sunday best. You know what that means, their Sunday best? You know what that means? Okay. They're all dressed and wearing nice clothing, all dressed wearing the Shabbos clothing. And everyone has the letter Tav. So the Tzadikim Gemurim, the Tav means Tichya. And the Rishayim Gemur means Tomos. How am I supposed to know who's who?
Who's you?
Let's say an ordinary person.
All right, it says Gyal and Dam.
So the Mashchisim. So you say that the Mashchisim are more sophisticated. The Mashchisim, they have X-ray vision. Well, they know things better than the average person. When they see a Tav, the Mashchisim are able to see the whole person. The whole person, the flavor of the person comes out.
No, but he says over here,
in color.
He should put on ink on the Tzadikim and blood on the Rishayim.
Well, that's what it says? Oh, I didn't notice that. Okay. I didn't notice that.
The question is, how does he know? But that's
okay. I didn't pick that up. Okay, very good. Okay, very good. So you're struggling with Hovart. Okay, very good. Okay, you're right. So therefore, that's right away. That's the difference between the two. Okay, Enochanami. I was trying to say is that, you know, there's a skill called, there's a fancy word for it, people who are able to analyze your handwriting skills.
Graphologists.
Someone told me they went to a simcha, and you know, today, if you're very wealthy and you have money to spend on all different things, so you have to have some type of entertainment at a simcha. So he went to a very, very fancy bar mitzvah. So I went out a long ago to a fancy bar mitzvah. They had like a booth where you go and you take pictures. You go into a booth and they take all these fancy pictures. They give you the pictures right away on the spot. Very nice. So this bar mitzvah, they had this, what's it called?
A graphologist.
So you come there to the desk and you write down whatever you want to write down. And by the time you leave the simcha, you get a report. you get a report of your entire personality, and it's shocking. Everyone who walked out of there like, wow, how did you know? How did you know? How are you so clever to know? So I asked my brother who knew the whole inside story. What?
Details or
detail? I mean, very, very specific things about your personality, very specific to each individual. It's not generalizations. You can't go swap this one with that one. So I asked my brother said, well, this person is a very well known person in this field, and the part of the job is you're only allowed to say good things. But if you want to use his full services, the person can go and write up for you a report of all of your chesroinos. So this is very lightweight. Oh, you're an honest person, or you're a hard worker, or you're a perfectionist, or you strive, you're an emotional person, like that. But if you want, this person can write, you're a ganav, you're a rasha, you're a baltaiva, you're a this and you're a that. It can really analyze inside out. And interesting, he told me that this person, my brother told me that his mother-in-law teaches, she's a principal, she teaches. And I don't know how this happened. She came to the school, she was a guest in the school, and she looked at all the papers. They were giving her all the students their handwriting, and she told her, there's a child in the class, there's something wrong. She looked at the papers, a true story, she looked at all the papers, and you should investigate, there's something wrong. And Kachava, she investigated, and there were some very serious issues in the family.
She named the child?
No, she showed them all of their homework, which was handwriting. Mm-hmm. She showed this.
But how did they narrow in on that child?
She looked at the paper.
So she said, this particular child.
Yes. Right, and then they gave her 20, they gave her homework. Everyone write an essay. So they gave the essay to all 20 children. She looked at all of them and she saw one of the essays, the handwriting, and she said, this child, there's something that's very disturbing. I want you to, you should investigate. And Kachava, she made an investigation and she found that at home, there were some very serious issues. And they were able to intervene and do things. So I was trying to suggest over here that Gavriel had the koyach, was a graphologist. You write the letter Tav. Okay, here you say the blood. Let's assume, let's reenact my Jewish by saying that Gavriel was colorblind. So you can't tell the difference if it's black or red. The Yoy is black and Dam is red. Let's say he was colorblind. And you look at the letter Tav. When Gavriel, when he puts the letter Tav, knowing this man is a dead man, Thomas, it's a different type of Tav. Okay, there's some type of fine point. And when it's L'chaim, Tichya, it's the same Tav. But there are nuances in the letter Tav. There are no two seifim that write the same letters. I was told that today, when a seifer submits his work to the database for the Sifrei Torah, okay, the Vad Mishmer Istam, Rabbi, what was his name? The seifer came to us last year, 2 years ago. What was his name? Michael. Rabbi Michaels. So when he came here, he showed us, he demonstrated how he checks the Sefer Torah with software. He scans, then he said. So Vad Mishmer Istam has their own software. In fact, it was a Din Torah between all the different companies. And the Vad Mishmer Istam, they very much wanted to have a monopoly on all Inyanei Stam. They wanted to control everything. One central authority, and it's logic behind it. Why they want it? It's a monopoly. So there's, besides the money, there should just be one central authority in halacha, in psak halacha, in safras. They lost the Din Torah. They took to the Din Torah, and basically everything splintered. So he mentioned to us that there are three major companies that at least then, maybe by now it's even more. That offer very expensive, sophisticated software to analyze, to check a Sefer Torah. I remember many years ago, so I'm sure by now it was even more sophisticated. I think they still do it. I think, for example, Vad Mishmer Istam. I don't know if they still do it, but Vad Mishmer Istam on Coney Island and Avenue L, when you ask them to check what?
M&N.
Avenue M and N on Coney Island, when you ask them to check your tefillin on mezuzos by computer, They scan it in, And they don't have the software. There is no software in the store. It's sent. The software that they use is connected to the internet. It's automatically sent to the central database in Eretz Yisrael. They must have some very sophisticated, everything is in the cloud now, so everything is like that anyway today, Bizman is like that. And it's done, it's analyzed there, and they have all the records. And they have, and because they're doing it here in Flatbush and in Borough Park and all over the place, they are collecting data, enormous amounts of data, in one location. Now that means, and this I've been told, is that let's say you have tefillin, and it's scanned in. So they possibly, or maybe they even, when let's say a sofer for the very first time submits his work, so it recognizes the uniqueness of his handwriting, and they put his name on it. This tefillin was written by sofer Chaim Schmerl. Then, 50 years later, or 10 years later, when someone Flapper sends in tefillin, oh, this is already the second time we've seen these tefillin. This is the second time we recognize these tefillin, and we know it's Rabbi Chaim Schmerl, and this is already the third, fourth time it's been written, and we can even compare the computers to software, so sophisticated, they can compare from if there's been any erosion, if the DOI, if the, at least the photocopy, whatever it is, has begun to fade, whatever, this and that, and worse, let's say they find out that Chaim Schmerl is Mechal Shabbos Chas V'Shal. It's Mechal Shabbos. Rachman would study, went off the Derech. And then they get a pair of tefillin. So then, wait a minute, it's Chosh. Now, anything that he wrote before he was Mechal Shabbos is Chosh. But let's say, Lu Yitzu, they know so they right away can say, Yishno, we know who wrote this tefillin, and we know that there's Chosh. But this is true, Yishno, when it comes to old Sifrei Torah. Because it's a fact that in Europe, there were Seferim, not a few, who wrote on Shabbos. Who wrote Sifrei Torah on Shabbos in Parnassa. They had the Nisayon of Parnassa was very great, so it wasn't like today where everyone is watching you. And they did work on Shabbos. And it was later, and today, there are Seferim that can recognize if the Sefer Torah was written on Shabbos. I don't know how, but there are mumchim. There are mumchim out there who can do so. Some say not a lot. Both. Written by a sofer. First, they recognize the handwriting. What?
On Shabbos. Yeah. So the Torah comes with a stamp inside. Right. One of the towns was called Shitlin. And the soy inside, and they, if it comes with a stamp,
And with the computers, it gets much, much more sophisticated because they pick up patterns. I know. My grandfather had a Megillah. He had a Megillah. He got a Megillah. Someone gave it to him, and it's a very old Megillah. So my brother has it, and he brought it to a mumcha, a big expert, to look at it to see. So he said he looked at it and he says this Megillah is very unique. He explained to him all the very, very fine nuances in the way the letters are written. And he knew exactly where it came from, which town it came from, and because this was their style of writing, and he can predict even the year when it was written. And he said to him, it's very, very valuable for someone who appreciates it. Like today, he says it's going to be worth even $20,000, this Megillah. It's old, old Megillah. He says people who appreciate what it's worth, what is unique, the whole history behind it, will pay $20,000. But I challenge you to find someone today that really appreciates it, that you know, it's going to be worth $20,000, but just go try to find someone that's going to pay you $20,000 to appreciating what you have in your hands. So I'm just trying to suggest over here, Al-Derech Drush, is that over here, they're writing the same letter Tov on the forehead of the Tzadikim and on the Rishon Gemurim. And Le'inayim, you can't tell a person who's a Tzadik, who's a Rasha. But there is the nuance of letter, of the way the letter is written, can be a sign in the Tav. Does it mean Tichye or does it mean Thomas? Now you don't need to come on to it, obviously, because what you mentioned is because it says one was written in black, one was written in blood. Okay, the Elamai. Now let's go further over here in the Radak. So Rav says Tichye and Thomas. Shmuel says Tama Zuchus Avos. Tav means. So this is very brilliant what he says, Shmuel. Tov means Toma, the Zuchus Ovois have come to an end. It's the same letter, the same meaning on both the Tzadikim and the Rishoyim. So what does it mean then? Fend for yourself. If a person has zuchus avos, even if Rachmana Litzlan is a rasha, he has protexia. Someone's going to take care of him. But when you don't have zuchus avos, you got to fend for yourself. So the tzaddikim have ma'asim tovim, have Torah, mitzvah, tefillah, so they're okay. The rishoyim, who don't have any zuchus avos, no mitzvahs, and now no zuchus avos, they're finished. They're finished. It's the same letter, it just means here, there is no pull. There is no pull here in this world. There are a lot of stories about people who die. They're true. They're not true. It doesn't make a difference. People who die, they come back. They come to the next world. They come back with their dreams. And the people here who connect with them in this world, they ask them. I don't understand. You come to Shemaim. You can't ask your Zeder to help you. You can't ask the Rav. You can't ask this one, that one. To get you into Gan Eden and this and that. And the answer is, you don't understand. In Shemayim, there's no pull. It's not like in this world. In this world, it's who you know. Everything is like that. Believe Yoytzei Min HaKlal. Go try to get a job without pull today. Any job. I'm not talking about getting in the yeshiva world. You go finish college. You go try to get a job. It's very, very hard. Extremely, extremely hard. And usually 95%, that's what they say, 95% of the jobs, even, talking about goyim coming out of college and applying to just to get an entry-level job in a company, in a firm, where there are a few spots, it's all, okay, of course, I'm not saying that people get jobs, but you don't understand what I'm saying. Everything comes down to pull. Shemayim, there's no pull. There's no pull. The system is a shocking, it'll be a shock what goes on there. And that's what it says here. Toma zuchus avos. Here now in this world, there's no pull anymore. You gotta stand on your own merit. Tzadikim, you'll be okay. Rishoyim, you're finished. It's the same letter.
There's no melitz yosher. The concept of melitz yosher doesn't.
So what does that mean exactly? Melitz yosher. Yes, good question. What does it mean? First of all, you should know that this idea about speaking to my uncle about I went to the Simcha in Boston. What?
Down here.
So here, like it's really zuchus avos. So he told me on this question that the briskers, he told me himself, he never by a levaya said the neshama should be a melitz yosher, because in his family there's no such thing. You stand on your own. The briskers, they don't go to the cemetery. Period. Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik was the exception, and he said every time he went, and many times he says he went there. I think every day he said. He said it very, very often, very frequently, and he said, what I'm doing over here is completely 100% against the tradition of my family, but I can't control myself. I have to go. I have to be here. I have to. He was very. He had a wonderful marriage. Halavai, everyone should have such a marriage. What?
Who is to say that he's guaranteed a place in Gan Eden?
Why?
Because my Rebbe is a big tzaddik on this.
Gewaldig. Okay. Okay. So he told me. He says that like, this idea of being a male tzaddik, we're talking about the family, comes the simple, we're talking about this one, that one. He said, basically, you stand on your own merit. If you don't have your own merit, you're finished. And that is what it says. Tame over here. The tov tame zuchusavas. Look at the over here. Now over here, the Eilu Hanoshim Hayuat Sadikim. The Eilu Hanoshim Hayuat Sadikim. Hashem Yishlaim B'Shalayu Nenochim V'Nenochim Al Kol HaToibus HaNasos B'Seicha. That we discussed before, and these the ones that got the Tophet Sadikim were the Sadikim who had grief over witnessing the abominations that were taking place in Yerushalayim. V'Hanenochim Inyan Tzoka U'Tzevocha, crying out, distress, grief. Kmo Heonek Dom. Be silent from crying out. V'shav ha'poel nifal l'roiv ha'pu'ula. I don't know what that means. V'chein ha'nidborim b'cha. I don't know what that means. Those who speak among you, whatever that means, it means over here is in a grammatical form, but it means over here is that these are the tzaddikim. Okay, now there are many midrashim. Let me just tell you something. The midrash says, let's discuss this right now. The letter tav represents the word emes. Why is Tav Emes? It's the last letter of the Aleph Beis. And Chosomoy Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. So what then is the significance? The significance of the letter Tav. Let me read you. So this the chasima that these are nechtam l'chayim, a chasima nechtam l'mavis. Let me read the Gemara. Gemara Masech the Shabbos on Daf Nun Hey. Let's go through the Gemara. It's very, very fundamental. My shna tov. Why the letter tov? Amarav. Tov. So this is first of the Radak quote. Tov means tichye. V'tov anechteves in blood means tomus. Shmuel says tov shemoira tamos zuchus avos. That was the second letter that the Shmuel says. Umemela, he has an interpretation over here. Tzadikim nitzalim bezuchus ma'aseihem. Ulam horoshoyim einam nitzalim she'en lochem bama. They don't have what to survive. Now, the Gemara goes further. For whatever reason, the Radak did not quote these next opinions. Rabbi Yochanan says it means just the opposite. Tochon. The tov means tochon, graciousness. Lashon of chen. Chen is a matnas chinam, which means tochon zuchus avos. La tzadikim shema'asei avosehem bidehem, v'loy l'rashoim shein ma'asei avosehem bidehem. In other words, just the opposite. Bamish pumfaker from Shmuel. Doesn't mean Thomas zuchus avos, pumfakert. Let the zuchus avos tochon, show graciousness for these individuals. Now how is a person going to merit to draw from the merit of his forefathers if he is following in their ways? If you're following the ways of your forefathers, Mimela, it will channel down their merit and spare you. But if you're not following in their ways, so then you have nothing to hold on to, then you're finished. Opinion number four. Bereish Lakish Amar, Tov is Soif Hoisyos, it's the last of the letters. Choisamay Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'moira al Soif Ugmar Hadin Shel HaChoisem, and it's symbolic of the Chasima, it's the Gzar Din. La Tzadikim Kig Zeirasam, Uli Rishoim Kig Zeirasam. In other words, your fate is sealed. What is your fate? Well, that's Pasha. If you're a tzaddik, it's chayim. If you're not a tzaddik, it's the opposite. But the tov means malach. Don't spend time with these people. These people already just do what you're supposed to do. The beinonim, everyone else in between the tzaddikim gemurim and the rishonim gemurim, those people you're going to have to deliberate, think, yeah, maybe not. Those people you're going to have to spend time figuring out what to do with them. The Omar, now the more elaborate, the Omar Rabbi Chanina, choysama yishol kadosh baruch hu emes. The top represents emes. That's the seal of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Elu. Then we have a fifth opinion. The fifth opinion is the top represents tzaddikim. Shekimu yes atayra kula me aleph ad tov. The top represents a tzaddik. Why does a top represent a tzaddik? Because a tzaddik has fulfilled the entire Torah from aleph through the letter tov. That more often than not, the oisios of the Aleph Beis represent the concept of the study, aloif bina, the learning of Torah. So we always refer to the Torah with the first two letters, Aleph Beis. But if you're up to Tav, that means you've learned the entire Torah all the way from Aleph through the last letter, Tav. In last week's parasha, we had one of the two psukim in Chamishei Chumshei Torah that has all of the letters of the Aleph Beis. Mm-hmm. What's the positive pasuk by the month? Tezayin, the pasuk there says that ish lefi achloi. Want to get the pasuk? Who are the Asher Tziva Hashem? Yeah. Parsha Saman. It's last week's parsha. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Shachris Parsha Saman. Pasuk is. Vayoymer Moshe Zeh Hadavar Asher Tziva Hashem Eloi Ha'emer Menu L'Mishmeres. No, that's not the pasuk.
No,
that's not the pasuk. Zeh Hadavar Asher Tziva Hashem Liktu Mimenu Ish Lefi Ochloi Oymer Lagul Goyles Mispar Nafshoy Seichem Ish Lasher Beholoti Kachu. Okay, that pasuk has all of the letters of the Aleph Beis. It's one of only two psukim in the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And the most popular, which I think the Baal HaTorim says, is why, what's the significance? Because this pasuk is telling you, there's going to be parnasa. Every single person is going to have the food that he needs, lago goyles, for himself and for his family, according to the number of people in your family, and you don't have to worry about parnasa. And why are there all of the letters of the Aleph Beis? To remind you that if you fulfill what it says in the Torah, Aleph Beis, or more deeply, if you study, you devote yourself to the learning of Torah, Hashem guarantees you will have parnasa, you need not worry. That is the popular drush in this pasuk. So Aleph Beis always refers to Limud HaTorah. So here we're up to the letter Tav. It means tzaddikim who have learned the Torah from beginning to end, fulfilled the Torah, and therefore they have nothing what to worry about. So the bottom line over here is, we have over here five interpretations why the letter Tav was marked on the people. That's also a drush, because the letter Tav just means a mark. Put a mark on these people. Along comes the Mefarshim, since it says Tav, and Tav is also happens to be one of the letters of the Aleph Beis, the mark that Gavriel is going to write upon the people is going through the letter Tav. The Pshuto Shel Mikra is he's only writing this letter on the Tzaddikim, not on the Rishoyim. Along comes Chazal, no, there was a Tav for the Tzaddikim, a Tav for the Rishoyim. Chazal go further to explain, which basically means there are three categories: the tzaddikim gemurim, the rishonim gemurim, and the beinonim. The beinonim did not get a mark; they were up in the air. But these other two categories were already sealed; their fate was sealed. We explain why the expression of tov hane'enochim v'hane'enochim applies to the rishonim as well. We explained that before. Now, then, why the letter Tav? So we review, we have five reasons. Number one, Tav is Tichya versus Tomas. Number two, Tav means Toma Zuchus Avos. Number three, Pumpakert, Tochon Zuchus Avos. You should merit the favor, the kindness of the Avos, provided, of course, that you're following in their ways. And the fourth interpretation was Tav represents Emes. It represents the word MS, which means these people, their state is sealed, because Chesamai Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu MS. And the fifth interpretation is Tav represents the Tzaddikim who have studied the Torah and fulfilled the Torah. May Aleph Ad Tav. Okay, I want to give you a little bit of a drush. The drush is the word based upon how Tav means MS. And we say in davening multiple times in different forms, a list of folks in the Shemone Esrei, Vesein Socher Toiv. L'chol habotchim b'shimcha b'emes. Korov Hashem l'chol korov l'chol asher yikra'uhu v'emes. What does it mean, v'emes? So it simply means with sincerity, those that really, really have emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the real deal. Like today, you know, in all of the introductions and all the haskamas, that everyone today, when you go to a wedding, everyone today is harav hagoin. M'chubit, harav hagoin, harav hagoin.
Rav Rudiman,
he went to and they called everyone Rav Hagoyno, and he said, when are we going to get up to the Rabbon? He made a joke. He says, so many Goynim, the Goynim. What about the Amoroyim? Amoroyim. He says something like you make Litzanis. The Goynim are from the Gemara, you know, after the Rabbanan Savaroi, they were the Goynim. They were the Tanoim, the Amoroyim, the Rabbanan Savaroi, and the Goynim. Already up to the Goynim, then comes the Rishonim, the Achronim, he made some joke about it, but everyone
said... Yeah, also happened, was he at a shul where they passed the Rav without the name, because the Rav wanted to make it first, and he said, you have to...
You have to call him a goyin?
You have to call him a
rav. Okay, but to call someone a goyin. So today it's like water. Today it's goyin. So they actually have the Eretz Yisrael. My brother told me this. My brother Eretz Yisrael says, yeah, there's inflation. 30 years ago, you only called a real European Rashiva, the Sheris HaPlaita, you call him the goyin. Today every 30-year-old already is called a goyin. So today, to differentiate between the senior Rashi Yeshiva and the 30-year-olds, they call the senior Rosh Yeshiva Hagoin Hagodol. I said, I never heard this in America. I said, yeah, it's very common in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, this is the Nusach. Hagoin Hagodol.
Who's the Maran?
The Maran, well, they used to call Avadia.
What?
Avadia used to call Maran. They call, I don't know. Everything, all depends. But the point I want to make over here is, you see sometimes Hagoin Hoamiti.
Yeah.
They want to ride it because people are so frustrated. Everyone's a goyin. Come on, this guy's a goyin. This guy doesn't even know the Aleph Beis. He's a goyin. So you say about a real goyin, ha-goyin ho-amiti. So MS represents, you know, it has deep meaning. But I want to say a drush. The drush is one that goes back to what we said on Friday, a few weeks ago, that Hashem says to Moshe complains to Hashem, you're going to go to the B'nai Yisrael, you're going to tell them, I'm going to tell them that Hashem sent me. They're going to ask me, what's his name? Mo'oymar Elohim. Hashem says, tell them, Eke Asher Eke. And then we read between the lines, which means, I will be with them in this tzara. Eke means I will be with them in this tzara. And I will be with them in all future tzaras. There's a long galus coming ahead until the Mashiach. I'll always be with them in their tzaras. Moshe says, Ribbono Shel'olam, it's not enough to have daya l'tzar b'shaita. You have to have daya l'tzar b'shaita. So you write, Koysam al levnei Yisrael, Eke shelochani yeschem. Enochnami, you write, Moshe Rabbeinu, you write, just tell them, I will be with them in this tzara. Don't scare them in telling them that there's going to be more tzaras into the future. So what's the obvious kasha? Hashem didn't know that Moshe would ask him the question that Bnei Yisrael, they're very weak. You're going to scare them. So why didn't Hashem l'chatchila say to Moshe, Koy soymar l'bnei Yisrael, Eke shelochani yeschem? Why do we have to go through the shak levitaria, Eke asher Eke? And then nochamol, Moshe has to ask the question. Hashem says, yeah, you're right. You're right, Moshe, just Eke. So the answer is, no, I want you, Moshe, to hear Eke asher Eke, because there are tzaddikim that are roy to understand the concept Eke asher Eke. And these tzaddikim will be there to give inspiration for the other people when Rahman lets them later in future generations or later down the line, there are more problems. So I'm telling you precisely, Eke asher Eke, because you, on your level, are ready to know, are on a madrego to appreciate Emunah, and there's going to be difficulty now, I'm going to help you, and there's going to be difficulty later, I'm going to help you as well. For the Hamoinam, for the common man, you're right. For the common man, correct, only Eke. But it doesn't take away that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does want a select group of people to be aware of the concept of Eke Asher Eke. Now, what is the gematria? I'm not a gematria man, you know that, but what is the gematria of Eke? I always apologize. What is the gematria of Eke? Anyone quick on their feet? 21. What now? It doesn't say Eke Justam, it's Eke Asher Eke. So the Darshanim, the word Asher is, we had discussed on Friday a few weeks ago, what is Asher? Is it part of Hashem's name? Not Hashem's name, but the Darshanim like to suggest the word Asher serves here as a multiplication symbol, which means Eke Asher Eke. 21 multiplied by 21, the full intensity of Eke Asher equals 441. What is 441? The gematria? MS. So a person who's from this select group who is able to appreciate Eke, Asher Eke, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us now in this tzara. And we have to acknowledge that there are going to be more tzaras. It's very hard to swallow that. And we have to also have a emunah that Hashem will be with us during those future tzaras as well. Eke, Asher Eke. 21 multiplied by 21. It's a jush, which means emes. The same sochar toiv, l'chol, habotchim, those that have faith in Hashem. My faith in you, Hashem, is so great, like Moshe Rabbeinu's original conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eke asher eke. It's a very high madrega. Koroiv Hashem l'chol koroav, l'chol asher yikra'uhu, the MS. So here, we're dealing here with very special tzaddikim that are going to be spared the Churban Yerushalayim. Hashem is sparing them from this tzara. Who is Hashem sparing from this tzara? Tzaddikim, that from them will come generations of people that will be able to deal with the tzaras of the future generations. And that's why Hashem says to Yechezkel, says to Gabriel, I want you to put a mark on Tzaddikim, ha-ne'enochim, v'ha-ne'enochim. We're going to spear these people. I'm being very selective who's going to survive the Churban, because I'm here preparing for the future. And the future, I'm sorry to tell you, is not going to be very pleasant. There's going to be a bayis sheni with a lot of tzaris, a Churban. There's going to be galus. This is a long way to go. And I only need people who can take the heat. Therefore, only I want you to mark the letter Tov, which we've learned in the Chazal is symbolic of the word MS. It's the last letter of the Aleph Beis, which the Chosam Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS. Put the letter Tav to indicate these people are my group. They are the people HaBoitchem B'Shimcha B'MS. They are people Eke Asher Eke. There are people that Ehe Elohem B'Tzara Zo, Ve'Ehe Elohem B'Tzara acheres. And these people, from them will come the seeds from whom we will rebuild Klal Yisrael in the future generations. Okay, so that's my drush. So sach hakol, we've really gone through six mahalchim in this pasuk of the letter Tav. Now, by the way, who else? He's not the first one. This after you can't go through this without mentioning, give honorable mention. Who else got the Tav? At least according to one of the midrashim, who got the Tav, also marked on his face, Cain. When Cain killed Hevel, Hashem said, "Gadol avoni min eso." So Hashem said to him, "Okay, you did tshuva. He did tshuva." So the midrash says Hashem put a mark on Cain. What was the mark? So there are many interpretations of what the mark was. One of the interpretations, Hashem put the letter Tav on his forehead, and that somehow was a sign that all of the animals should not. It wasn't like today, where there are no animals roaming the streets. In those days, back in my Sebrachus, you can't walk down, the animals are looking for food. And Adam, man is vulnerable. And after the chait of murder, the animals no longer have fear for man. And Cain was in mortal, literally, we don't want to appreciate this. If you're in a jungle and you're surrounded by lions and surrounded by ferocious animals who are seeking what to eat, you have no chance even to survive a few minutes. So Hashem put the letter Tov on his forehead, which gave him the ability to survive, to overcome the animals. Okay, the other interpretation is what the sign. Some learned it was Shabbos. That's a very beautiful drush that Hashem's told him, I'm giving you the key to survival is observe Shabbos. The first one to be Shomer Shabbos, according to the Medrash, was not Adam, it was Cain. It was Cain. He
what
was Adam do Gan Eden? Adam, what Adam Gan Eden? Adam was born on Yom HaShishi. Adam was born on Yom.
What did he do?
What malacha did he do?
What did he do?
I don't know the answer.
Havdalah was the only thing he did.
Havdalah, okay. Could be. I don't know. But according to the Medrash, the first one to observe Shabbos, at least consciously, was Cain. And Adam met Cain, his son, and he said, "What happened to you? You killed your brother Hevel, Yechayiv Misa. How did you survive? I did teshuva." And Hashem gave me a sign. Hashem accepted my tshuva, and He gave me the tools to survive. He gave me Shabbos. So Adam says he smacked himself on the face, and he said, "Wow, I wish I knew that secret that you can do tshuva for doing an avera. I ate from the Eitz Hadas. I was driven out of the Eitz Hadas. I did not know there's something called tshuva. Had I known, I would have done tshuva as well. But now from you, I'm going to learn." And the sign that Hashem gave you for survival was Shabbos. I'm also going to become a Shomer Shabbos. And that's why he said, Mizmor Shir Liyoyim HaShabbos. Mizmor Shir Liyoyim HaShabbos was the response of Adam to learning that Hashem accepted the tshuva of Cain, and the way Hashem showed that I'm going to accept your tshuva is by giving you the ois shel Shabbos. Shabbos, there are three ois, the Shabbos, there is Bris Milah, and Tefillin. And that was another version of the sign. But simply, a message says it was also the letter Tav, just like it says here in Sefer Yecheskel, Perek Tes. Okay.
The letter, if you ask somebody nowadays to put a mark on something, chances are they would put a letter X.
X. Interesting.
The Tav in
Greek?
Ancient Hebrew is an X.
X. Interesting. Very interesting.
If you look in Rashi, in the Chumash, where they anoint Aaron.
Right.
Rashi says Chai. Yeah. Chai is also a letter X.
Yes, yes.
So all these marks that we're learning about are really X's. Not
X's.
The letter
interesting. Plus. Intersection. Very interesting. What?
You ever see the X Files?
The X Files.
No, it's
the X Files.
He's
Jewish.
And let's make an episode. They're showing old episodes from 20 years ago.
He's Jewish?
This Hasidish guy was killed, and his wife made a golem to avenge his killers. And the word MS.
MS.
On his hand, and when it came for him to die, she erased the Aleph.
Mace. We must have a Jewish screenwriter, right? From a screenwriter. Okay. Okay, so this is the idea of Tav al Mitzchayis HaNashim HaNashim. Okay. Now it's also interesting why it was the forehead. Why the forehead? Why not the arm? Why the forehead? So that's
easily visible.
What? Easily visible, simply understood. It's also interesting to note that's where the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol is put. V'hoyi al meitzach Aaron kodesh la Hashem. Kodesh la Hashem. There must be some connection. I haven't seen anything. And it's also it represents chutzpah, the midos. The midos of a person. The midos of a person are seen on the person's forehead to some degree, whatever that means. So somehow there's a connection between life and a person's midos. The midos toivos is what gives a person the koyach, the zechus to live. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk hey. Now Hashem is addressing the other six. Then we have a total of seven mashchisim, seven people. Six are the mashchisim, and then there is the Gavriel that is dressed in the levush bad, in the linen. Hashem, after telling Gavriel to mark the letter, tav on the tzaddikim and on the rishoyim, Hashem now addresses the other six mashchisim who are carrying out this mission. Ule'ela, to the others, Omar be'oznai. Hashem spoke to them in my earshot. Iru v'ir, I want you, Acharav, I want you to pass through the city Acharav, follow Gavriel, trail him. Ve'haku, and I want you to smite everyone after he puts the letter on those people who are going to live. I want you to smite everyone else. Al tochois einchem, have no compassion. V'al tachlemu, you are show compassion. V'al tachlemu, two words which mean the same thing. I do not want you to show compassion to anyone. Anyone, everyone here must die. That was the instructions. Let's see the Mitzvah of Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey says, "Ule'ela heim sheishes wa'anashim haboim b'kleim ma'potzam." This refers to the six people we learned yesterday that are holding in their hands their instruments of destruction. Omar bi'oznoi, Hashem spoke to them within my earshot. Ritzon lo'imar, shamati, I heard kishohoyim medaber lohem. I was eavesdropping. This was not spoken to me, this was spoken to them, and I was listening. Acharav, achare levush abadim, follow, trail behind the one who is riding or putting the mark on these people. Vehakuba anshoi, and I want you to smite them. Okay, let's see what it says over here in Rashi. Pasuk Hey, ule'el ama biaznai l'sheishes hamachablim. As we said, b'mtsudos, mardak, Pasuk Hey, ule'el ama biaznai, ule'el ahim ashisha shezochar, amalochem sheyevo achar ham achar. Hamasveh hazeh, after the individual who is putting the mark, the Yaku, you shall smite anyone who does not have this mark. Al tachos kein ksiv, have no compassion. The kri al, it's spelled with an ayin, and we read it with an aleph. V'yakosuv leitz loymar v'yiko al, you smite al asher tachos ein, have smite al asher tachos einchem. I want you to. He's explaining the decree of Chsev. I want you to kill even the ones who you have rachmanis on. In other words, you look at this person, and in your eyes, the Malach says he's a good man. Why should I kill him? Hashem says, follow my instructions. And kol shekain, you should destroy those. You should destroy those who are rishoyim, who you have no rachmanis. Now this pasuk, this interpretation of how he's dashing the Kriva Siv should send chills down your spine. Because what he's saying over here is that the Oimek HaDin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so deep and is so great, even the Malachim have no understanding of why Tzadik V'Raloi. Okay, we know that we live in this world, you know, Tzadik V'Raloi, bad things happen to good people, it's not fair. It's just not fair. But we have Emunah that in Shemayim, there it's fair. There's a calculation. But what this pasuk is telling us is that in Shemayim, they're also complaining it's not fair. Doesn't make sense to them either. To whom then is it fair? To that, you have to go to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you have to have a munah that it is fair, but the Oimek HaDin and Hashem's understanding is so, so deep, V'lisvunasoi ein cheker. By Hashem it makes sense. And it's a given to us, it doesn't make sense. That's pasha, that we know it doesn't make sense. But even among the malachim, here it talks about the mashchisim. This is the parnasa. This is what they do, the mashchisim. This they do for a living. They kill people. So they know this is the Hashem. But the mashchisim say, even them? Even this guy? This guy's a good guy. Why should we do it? Don't question me. That's how he interprets the pasuk. Why the kuivach siv, the haku, al, with an ayin, with an ayin, it means upon those whom tochos einechem, whom you have compassion. And kol shekin, you should kill those who you have no compassion. We are not so happy reading that. That's very disturbing to us in this world. So we change it from an ayin to an aleph. Al means do not show compassion. But this is the very novel and very extremely frightening, chilling interpretation of the Radak. Yeah, I'm not making this up. This is what it says. Has his Hiram Hashem warned these six angels, Shelo Yachos Al Adam, do not have compassion, Velo Yachamalu and show no compassion. Einechem, your eyes, Ksiv Loshon Rabim, it's written Loshon Rabim, Ukri Einchem Loshon Yachid. So there's really a very small difference. Your eyes is Loshon Rabim, Loshon Yachid, Kamo Losachos Incha, Vayachid, who Derech Klal. The Yachid is the collective noun, even though it's, we read Loshon Yachid, but it's the collective noun, that's simple. Okay, let's now see the next pasuk. Pasuk of Yeruah says, to whom will you kill? Now, we really learned this pasuk yesterday briefly. We'll go over it both ways in a moment. But simply, the pasuk is coming to address whom are the targets. Okay? These are the targets. Zokain, the elders. The Bachur, the young men. Uvesula, the young women. The Taf, infants. The Nashim. Nashim means the older women. Taharagu. Now, notice one thing is very strange. Who's being left out? It does not say the Anoshim. Okay? If you want to go say the Zaki means the elders, okay, doesn't say the older women, only says older men, L'chayra, I don't know, maybe Zaki's catch-all means men and women, Bachur Besula, so you want to talk about the young men, the young girl, the young men and the young women, the infants, and then it says Noshim, which I guess means, you know, adults between 20 and 60. So what happened to the Anoshim? I don't know the answer. It's a very strange thing why they have been left out.
It could be that he is incorporating from Zaken to Bachur, in other words, everybody in between.
In between. Yeah. But once we specify so many categories, it seems like you're only leaving out one category, the Anoshim. What happened to the Anoshim? I don't know the answer. Okay, there has to be... From the Zaken to the Bachur. From the Zaken to the Bachur. From the Besula to the... I don't know. Okay, Enochanami. What does it say in the Megillah? It says in the Megillah, L'hashu l'harug l'avid es kol ha'yuhudim. Minahar... V'yad Zokin, Taf V'noshim B'yomechad. Doesn't say there are Noshim either, but at least it says Minahar V'yad Zokin. So you have the word Ad means includes, from the Nar Ad Zokin, you have the Noshim in between. Here there is no Ad, it just says Zokin Bachur U'besula Taf V'noshim Taharagu L'mashchis Taharagu L'mashchis, you shall bring utter destruction. The Al Kol Ish Asher Lov Hatav, only upon those upon whom the Tav is written. The Tav is written Al Ti Gashu. Do not go near. Umimikdashi Tachelu. You shall begin the killing in the Beis Hamikdash. We'll go see in any more detail what that means. But where should you start? Yerushalayim is a big city. You can go to the gates. You can go on the perimeter and start working your way inside. No, I want you to start the killing inside the Beis Hamikdash. That's where the Magefa will begin. Vayachelu bo anashim. So notice here it says the anashim hazikainim. So notice here it doesn't say zokain, it says anashim hazikainim. Here we put the word anashim, but not in reference to the anashim stam, but in reference to the zokainim. Asher lefnei habayis, the mashlisim fulfilled Hashem's command, and it started with the mashlisim, the anashim zokainim that were before the standing in the azar, before the heichal, before the ulam. So let's see the mitzvah stavit pasik vav. Pasuk Vav. L'mashchis, l'hashchis, min ha'olam, to destroy from this world. V'al kol ish, aval, al kol mi sheyia, olav hasimen, al tigashu, elav l'hakoy, so anyone upon whom the mark is written, you should not go near to hit. U'mimikdashi tochelu, tashilu l'hakoy, me'honashim, o'imdim lefnei mikdashi, begin to smite from the people that are standing before the Beis HaMikdash. And it says now, Vayochelu, the angels, they began, they fulfilled their mission. Hischilu lahakois meazikenim shamdu lufne abayis asher kitu lelegulum, which were offering incense to the idols, as we learned in the Pesukim before. Kamashakasa v'shiv ish mizikne, there were 70 men. So they started with these 70 zikenim. And we learned, when we learned these Pesukim, we learned that the Medrash says these 70 zikenim were the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were all killed. They were not from those who merited to have the Tav put upon their forehead. You would expect the Sanhedrin. Well, obviously, they were not tzaddikim. They were worshipping idols. They were worshipping incense to Avodah Zarah. Rashi, Pasik Vav, Umimikdashi Tochelu. Min ha'aymdim lefnei mikdashi. I want the killing to start with the people that are standing in the Beis HaMikdash. That is the simple interpretation. Do not start at the gates of the city or in the town square. Start in the Beis HaMikdash. However, v'rabbi seinu amru, we have a famous Maimer Chazal. Al tikrei mi mikdashi ela mi miku doshai. Make believe the Dalid is not a komatz mimik do shi, but rather mim and the kuf again. The kuf is not going to be a shva mimik do shi. However, mimiku. The dal is a shva. I'm sorry, dal is shva. It's the kuf. The kuf should be with a shurak mimiku do shi. The holy ones, the tzaddikim, are the ones that are going to be killed first. Minam mikudashim liheim. Oysam chakuki hatov, oysam chakuki hatov, shehishabohem milazikam, chozar vitsivo lechablam. Hashem is changing his mind. Okay, very frightening. The people upon whom I told you to write the tov, gzuntait, which means live, that's what gzuntait means, right? Perfect time to sneeze. Hashem over here is saying that when it says over here, the people who were originally given the Tav, Hashem changed his mind. Wow. L'fi she'amra midas hadin l'fonav ma nishtanu elu mi'elu harei loy michu biyobahem. The midas hadin complained to Hashem that it's not fair, even though they are tzaddikim, they could have protested. They could have told the people to stop doing. Hashem says, the Medrash, make a long Medrash short, the Medrash says, Hashem says, Golui v'yodua lefonai, it's known before me that if they would have protested, they would have made a macha, the people would not have listened. They would have ignored their warning. So the Malach Midas Adin said, yeah, Ribbono Shel'Olam, maybe Golui v'yodua lefonecha, maybe it's known before you, but was it known before them? They're only human beings. They don't know how people are going to react. So Hashem said, you're right. And therefore there was a complaint. There was a kitroik. There was a complaint against the tzaddikim, and Hashem changed his mind. Now this is a pella. And the Medrash, in fact, makes note of this, that we have a general rule, b'chol Torah kula, that Hashem never, ever goes back on good news. If Hashem promises something good will happen, it's impossible, and it's put, and ma'isa is done to solidify the good event, Hashem will never go back. Bad, evil, Hashem will change his mind to the very last moment. This is the only exception, the Medrash says, and it's coming to teach us how careful we must be to make a macha. Let me read you the words of the Gemara. The Gemara says, let me find the right Medrash. Here it is. Okay, this little introduction here. Amar le Rabbi Zeira le Rabbi Simoin, lechachinu mar lahane debe resh gelusa. Rabbi Zeira said to Rabbi Simoin, I'm appointing you to give musar to the people of the resh gelusa. When you go to the melech, the resh gelusa, the person in charge of the Jewish people, I want you to go complain that they're doing averos. Amar le, I'm not getting involved with these people here. If I'm going to give them musar, they're going to kill me. Law, now, law mekabalei mino, they're not going to accept my musar. Omar lei, so Rabbi Zeira said to him, af al gav lo mekabalei, even though they're not going to accept it, you have no choice, you still must give musar. Lo yichachinu mar. De omar, Rabbi Achab, Rabbi Achanino, here's the words, me oilom, it never happened, lo yotzisa mido toivim mepiyag l'shbaruchu v'choza bo l'ra. It never happened, b'chol ha-tarakula, that Hashem promised something good to happen, and Hashem changed his mind, l'ra, chutz, except for one event in the entire Tanakh, what we just learned right here and now. Start with mimikdoshi, al tikri mimikdoshi, ela mimikudoshai. Start with the tzaddikim upon whom the letter Tav has been etched. Why? Vayemar Hashem avor b'soch uir b'soch yushlaim v'hizvisa Tav al mitzchoyz chonosh v'hanenoch hanenochim v'hanenochim al kolat evois. Omar lech l'sh baruch hu l'gavriya lech u'rushoyim al mitzchon shel tzaddikim Tav shel dioi shelo yishtutu b'chem al lech echabola al mitzchon shel rushoyim Tav shel dom k'dei shishtu b'chem al lech echabola. Why are these different? Amalu halal tzaddikim gemurim, halal rishonim gemurim, amalu fan ribono shel olam. But they also hayal biyadim limchais v'lo imichu. Amallah, Hashem said to Gabriel, Goloi v'yadua lefonai she'im michu bohem lo yikablu mehem, they would not accept my mussar. Amalu lefan ribono shel olam, im lefonecha goloi lohem mi haya goloi, did they know? And then it says, and what happened? It says, this al tikri mikdashi ela mikudoshai el bnei adam shekaim was toim klum mi'alof yatov. So this is the famous Maim Chazal. Very, very frightening that indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did have charata on these tzaddikim.
It's amazing, okay. That it's all in the same pasuk. One is saying, he's saying, "Al tigashu, don't touch them," and then he changes.
It's in a chanami. In a chanami, it's a, yeah, you're right. It's very, very far. It's in the same pasuk. No, it was the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk. The previous pasuk. Hey, it says, "Do not al tochais."
It says, "Asher al kolish elavat."
Oh, you're right. You're right. The juxtapose. Al tov al tigashu. Then he says, "No, I changed my mind. Umikudoshai tigashu." So let's see the Radak reading. We're out of time. It's very quickly. Radak pasuk vav. Zakin ubachor targu lemashkis sham rotzaloyim lahashchasa shetashkitzu akol kill everyone umimikdashi tochelu me'asher bemikdash. Those that are in the base hamikdash are more guilty. We mentioned before how dare you, if you want to do worship idols, at least don't do it in the base hamikdash. The chutzpah to worship in the base hamikdash. My holy ones. Eilu bnei adam shekimu es atar kulu mi'alav yatov yomer lo yotza midas tovu l'mimeis HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'choz v'lo ra chutz midavar zeh. We just mentioned the medrash she'omar t'chila v'hizviso tov, and the very next word zar v'yomar v'al kolish ha'sha'olav ha'tov al tagishu v'yachakach omar u'mimikdoshi tochelu. Hashem here is the only exception, and it goes to show how frightening it is that if you are a witness to evil, you can't sit back. It's an amazing concept. Oh, this excuse of I was following orders is not an excuse. There is no excuse not to make a macha when you witness something wrong taking place. You okay? Okay, it's taking place. Okay. Before we go, I just want to do one more Maimer Chazal. Very, very frightening Maimer Chazal that when Marsha, this comes from Marsha explains in more detail. This comes from the Gemara of the Zara, and the Marsha explains the Gemara of the Zara. Is that when Avraham was mispalel for the people of Sodom, the words Avraham used were Cholila licha me'asois kadavar hazeh lehamis tzadik im rasha. It's chulin, lashon chulin. Am Avraham lufnei Kadosh Baruch Hu ribono shel olam chulin hu me'asois kadavar hazeh lehamis tzadik im rasha. V'loy matzinu keinis Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Gemara says, but it says in the pasuk, really, it's chulin. It's not true. The Aksim says in the pasuk, v'ichrati mimech tzadik v'rasha. But we find the Gemara is a question that we find that Hashem does kill the tzadik. We find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does take tzadikim. No, that's the Gemara answers that tzadik she'enoi gomor. Al tzadik gomor loy v'tzadik gomor loy. Here's the part. The Gemara is a question. Hashem does not take the life of a tzaddik, but we find that Hashem does take the life of tzaddikim. The Gemara answers that's referring to tzaddikim she'enam gimurim. They're 99% tzaddikim, but a little bit of them is not a tzaddik. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take those. The Gemara then asks the bomb question, really? But we do find that Hashem does take the life of pure tzaddikim. Here in Pasuk Yecheskel, where it says umi mikdashi tochelu v'yaksev umi mikdashi tochelu v'tani Rav Yosef al tikri umi mikdashi ela umi mikudoshai elu bnei adam shekayim v'sar me'alof yatov. So what is the Gemara? So the Gemara of the Zohar is asking a question on Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu said, Ribbono shel Olam, maybe in Sodom there are 50 tzaddikim. Maybe there are 45 tzaddikim. Maybe there are 40 tzaddikim. Maybe there are 30, 20, 10 tzaddikim. Maybe there are 10 tzaddikim. Cholila lecha me'asois kadavar hazeh. You don't take the life of a tzaddik. You don't, really? Is Avraham correct? Avraham is dead wrong. Because we find that Hashem does take the life of tzaddikim. No, those tzaddikim that you're referring to are tzaddikim she'enim gemurim. They're not complete tzaddikim. Avraham was referring to tzaddikim gemurim. Also, you're telling me that it's chalilah for Hashem to take away a tzaddik gomor, but it says beferush in Yecheskel in Perek Tes, umimikdashi tochelu, and who are the mimikdashi? These are umimikudashai, the people that were makayim the Torah me'alef yatof, who are tzaddikim gemurim. So you see, so the Gemara says, ein hachinami, those were tzaddikim gemurim, but those tzaddikim gemurim had the opportunity to make a macha, to protest. The tzaddikim gemurim that Avraham was referring to were tzaddikim that did not have the opportunity to make a macha. Those tzaddikim, Hashem says to Avraham, says to Hashem, it's not fair to take away. So that's another, same Maimon Chazal, but it's connecting the word chulin, cholila lecha, with the word kodesh, mimikudashai, the two words parallel one another. Okay, stop over here.